presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, y'all go ahead and get out of your seat and meet and greet one another today. And singers, you're going to go ahead and greet them too. Hallelujah. Say hello to them. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Keep playing. Tell somebody happy Sunday. Something upbeat. Something upbeat for them. Hallelujah. Until they sit down. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. I just have a couple of announcements for you before we go further in tonight's teaching. All my young men, there won't be any Snack Shack this morning, so be still and chill out. And I don't want to hear no basketballs outside until I'm finished preaching. I love y'all, though. I love you. I love you. Got to tell you in advance, all right? All right. Just really quick, I just have a couple of announcements. Yesterday at Divine Design Women's Ministry had a wonderful time at All Fired Up Painting and Fellowship Together. It was just a wonderful time. As you can see on your screen, there was a lot of wonderful graphics and things of that nature. Andre, can you go back there and help him so he won't have to man both of them for today? All right. We have a couple people out today because they had some folk moving into new houses and new places and things like that. And it's just been a true blessing to God. But as you can see right there on the screen, we had several individuals that were at All Fired Up. And my wife made a frog princess, a frog monkey. She called it a monkey. It's just a beautiful thing. And they tell me that it takes about a week for it to cure. What kind of disease did it have? Oh, you're trying to get it fired up? All right. Kind of reminds me of the Finder's Fire. Sometimes it looks like you finish, but you got to stay in there just a little while longer until you come out exactly how you need to be. That's a word right there for somebody. You missed it. You missed it. Oh, you missed it completely. All fired up. You got to paint it. You got to dress it. It looks like it's completed, but it has to go into the fire and it has to cure. It has to be settled in, get acclimated to the environment for about a week. In other words, it has to wait a little while in the fire. Then once it gets through the fire, it's ready. You got the word right there? All right. So they had a wonderful and blessed time with that. Also, are you guys ready for a little bit of football this evening? Amen. Amen. I'm still kind of salty because, you know, all of my teams lost this year. I mean, every single one of them. So, you know, I'm on the bandwagon today. How many of y'all are going for the Rams this evening? How many of y'all going for the Patriots? Oh, Lord. See, all of y'all people right there, y'all go for the Lakers if they're winning. Y'all go for LeBron and them if they're for winning. Y'all are the real bandwagon people. How many people are in here just looking for the commercials? As everybody else. Well, this evening at 6 p.m., Gideon Circle, which is our men's ministry team, will be hosting a Super Bowl party and potluck. There will be food. There will be lots of fun. We'll be playing some spades and other things, and you'll be able to watch the commercials, watch the game, and just fellowship one with another. And you can be in the bed before 10 o'clock. But you're not going to go to sleep anyway. In other words, it's going to be the New England Patriots versus the Los Angeles Rams. They don't even sound right. It's supposed to be the Patriots. It's supposed to be the Chiefs versus the Rams. Oh, y'all saying the Saints? Oh, Lord. What? Oviedo Lions? Y'all can't even be in there. So neither here nor there. Whatever team that you're going for, we're just going to have fun and fellowship one with another. Make sure that you come dressed in your favorite team's gear. And even if your team didn't make it, you can still come and hang out. Everyone is welcome to attend. The game starts at 6:30 p.m. If you have some guests, bring them with you. But it's first come, first serve in regards to food. So if you're late, you show up at 7:30. Divine Truth, we got big appetites and big hearts. So all of the food will be gone. I promise you that. Also, on Friday, February the 22nd, from 7 to 9 p.m., Divine Truth will be hosting Let's Talk Friday. Let's Talk Friday, an open dialogue on race in this particular nation. It's very important that the church is involved in the civic affairs of this particular community. You could take that graphic off tomorrow. It's involved in the civic affairs of the community. The reason why this is so important is because we don't want to just be a church that's just within the four walls or just doing community things that are convenient. We also want to be able to speak truth to power and try to bring some level of understanding to those that may not be on the same wavelength that we are in. Our church is involved with the police department here in Castleberry, Florida, as far as chaplaincy is concerned, but I'm only one person. If we get the conversation started as regards to its citizenry, in regards to constituents that are in this particular city and beyond, that we can come to some type of meaningful discussion. Now, the aim of the conference, or the name of the symposium, if you will, is not trying to solve the world's problems in one day, but it's at least to get the conversation started. And as a church in this particular community that is becoming more and more prominent as the days and the weeks and the months go by, we need to have our foot in the door and open up the door wide with compassion, with intelligence, with a level of astuteness in regards to the issues, to be able to speak to those things and be able to communicate things properly, whether it be things that you agree about or things that you disagree about. So if you want to be a part of that, it's once again, it's Friday, February the 22nd, from 7 o'clock p.m. to 9 p.m. Right here at the Empower Center. And for more information, please see Sister Akile Mara. We're letting everybody know early. We'll make sure that the flyer is completed so that you all be able to see it every single Sunday and Thursday, whether you're watching online this morning or here in the midst of God's people. We want you to be aware of it. And even if you're not into that type of thing, send somebody who is, because everybody is interested in different things and our church wants to be able to speak to those things. Also, on Saturday, February the 23rd at 9:30 a.m., join us for our first community outreach event of the year. It will be held at Boys Town Shelter of Central Florida of Oviedo, Florida. We will be providing lunch for boys and girls that have been placed in the shelter due to various situations and circumstances. We are also in need of volunteers to help cook, serve, and donate items. The menu is barbecue chicken, baked beans, potato salad, and drinks. If you're interested in assisting us in this awesome opportunity, please see Sister Latoya Lewis and Deacon-elect Lewis. They will be spearheading this particular campaign. It's right over there off of State Road, we call it Geneva Boulevard, but it's State Road 426 over there in the Oviedo area. I've been by that facility several times. These are individuals that have gone through a lot in their life, but our ministry wants to bring a little glimmer of hope by being able to cater to their needs and just put a couple of smiles on their faces. So if you're interested in that, please see those two individuals as we go out and feed the hungry and do what the church is supposed to do. And then we also have on Sunday, February the 24th, during service, on that particular day, we'll be having a child dedication ceremony. If your child has not been dedicated to the Lord, some of y'all want to give them to Jesus even right now. bring them. They could be 18, as long as they're 18 and under. No, I'm just teasing. If you want to bring them out on that particular Sunday, please do so that we can go ahead and give a dedication to the Lord. Also, February the 24th, right after service, new membership VIP luncheon will be for all new members who have joined this year. So welcome, welcome, welcome to you. Welcome to each and every one of you. But we don't want to stop there. We want to continue to reach out for souls and win souls for Christ. Also, save the date, March 9th at 9 a.m. The Power of Prayer Breakfast hosted by Rivers of Living Water Ministry will be held at Sanford Civic Center. It's right around the corner, y'all. Tickets are only $13 for adults and $8 for children. For more information, see Sister Alicia Winsley. Also, you need to pay for your tickets by February the 17th. If you want grits and if you don't want to look all stank face there because all the food is gone, you just show up the day of. That's not my problem. Make sure that you turn your stuff in on February the 17th, which is only a couple of weeks away. February goes by just like that. All right. I know y'all ladies are thinking of Valentine's Day, but prior to that, make sure that you get your tickets. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that your tickets are in place if you do plan on attending. Also, on March the 20th through the 22nd, Covenant Fellowship Spring Conference hosted by my bishop, my spiritual father, and the Potter's House International Ministries, along with Covenant Fellowship in Jacksonville, Florida. Do you have the flyer, young man? Okay, he's working back there. I know I got him working real quickly. We'll be at Jacksonville, Florida. He will be celebrating 20 years of his bishopric, Bishop Vaughn Monroe McLaughlin. See, I know his middle name, y'all. 20 years in office of bishop and 20 years in Covenant Fellowship International. Everyone is invited to attend. If you want more information about that, please visit tphim.org. If you don't see the flyer in here, just go to my wall on Facebook or just go inside the DTCC family group and you'll be able to see the graphic inside of there. And then finally, for our last series of announcements, we have blessing bags that will be available in the hallway. We also have a family room across the hall, and the snack shack will be open this evening or this afternoon. This afternoon, everybody. This afternoon during the Super Bowl. So just in case you run out of food, we'll be able to sell something to you. All right, we're going to make sure it's all available. See, you'll still be able to eat, but it's going to come at a price of you being late and you coming. All right, now I'll just say, all right. Also, Truth Learning Academy is still accepting enrollments. Be sure to invest in the first of many businesses that God has blessed us with. Our weekly rate is extremely competitive, you all. Our price range is between $140 to $180 a week. That's dynamite. And that's not even including the discount that we have right there on the screen. So you need to go ahead and make that trip, and go ahead and enroll into our particular daycare. If you go into the facility even next door, and if you want to just look around even on today, you'll be able to see all of what is in there. We have certified teachers. We have a certified director. It's not a babysitting service held by the church people with Lady Martin and I just sitting in the room with teddy bears on our necks. No. That's not what it is. We're here conducting church business while the daycare is doing exactly what it needs to do in the meantime, between time, all right? So it's a great revenue generator for our ministry. If you know individuals that need childcare, please let them know. And also, you all be praying for us. Next week, we'll be finalizing our application for BPK and 4C. All the paperwork has been submitted, but we had to get our kitchen updated, as you can see right there on the screen. It looks like a macaroni grill over there side of the kitchen and whatnot. So we got stainless steel appliances. We found a lot of the things at a good discount, and we repurposed some of the things that we already have. And so the reason why we have these things is because of your support, your consistent and generous support. It's very important. Like I said before, Divine Truth, your giving has increased. When we y'all heeded the call, it increased almost 670%. 670%, because many of you knew that you could do better than what you have been doing. Many of you knew that you weren't paying your tithes giving your tithes and giving your offering as you can, as you can. We went through a long budgeting teaching, and we were admonishing those of you that were attendance on that particular Sunday, and hopefully you still remember that when you get paid, don't put the things of God last. Put God first. You get what I'm saying? Put God first. If you put him last, then we're only going to get the leftovers, and you're not helping as you need to help. And I also told you that my wife and I have been giving in many of you all's places when you're missing, when you don't give as you should, and it was killing us financially, and we stopped that altogether. Let's continue to do what we need to do, all right? And you're going to have an opportunity to give even in a few moments. Also, if you're a first-time guest, you should have received a welcome card from our greeter. If you did not get a welcome card from our greeter, one of our ushers will give something to you during our time of giving. When you fill out the form, at least put your name and email address so that we can contact with you, all right? Put your name and your email address, and we'll be able to attend to your needs appropriately. If you're a first-time guest, can you please raise your hand? Raise your hand. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'll give you a little quick warning. We're a little bit crazy, but we love really, really hard. All right? So if you see multiple people give you hugs and see how you're doing and things like that, that's how we do everybody every single Sunday. All right? So God bless you. God keep you. And we hope that you come again very soon. All right? All right. Y'all ready to give? I know I am. I'm going to give God the best. Wait a minute. Why aren't you clapping at something that is so crucial? That sounds like y'all getting ready to give $100 towards the ministry as a group today. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Okay. Let's try to do exactly what God has called us to do. Are you all ready to sow into the kingdom today? Yes. Do it every single time. Do not fall off. Do not rest. Do not think that we're just supposed to just be like, okay, y'all got it. Now, who is y'all? No, you are the y'all. Okay? So let's come together. Let's do what we need to do in order to propel the vision forward. You'll see the vision on the screen. If you're not familiar with what that is, basically our church is in the process of creating businesses in the community that will allow for us to be able to employ individuals from the community. Oftentimes, churches are seen as only having church service only and hollering only on a Sunday morning. You see a nice little car in the parking lot from the pastor and first lady, and then everybody else, according to the memes that you see on Facebook, is all in broken down cars. But when I look out in my parking lot, I don't see that. When I look around in this sanctuary, I don't see a bunch of unemployed people, ignorant people. I see intelligent, powerful people that are contributing with their skills, their knowledge, and their abilities, and they have finances too. And so when you contribute to the vision, you're putting our church not only on the map, but you're allowing for it to be a staple of the community here in this particular area. And we want to do even more than that. We've launched a community center. We've launched a daycare. We have the church. But guess what? We still got 5 to 6 more businesses left. Amen. That kitchen right there. All right, that kitchen right there, that kitchen is the first, and the Snack Shack is our first strike of the match to having a restaurant. You see, there's a method to our, I won't say madness, there's a method to our kingdom strategy. There's a method to it, but you can't stop giving, you can't stop loving, you can't stop serving, you can't stop attending. I'm going to say that again. You can't stop giving, you can't stop loving, you can't stop serving, you can't stop attending. It's very important for you to be consistent. If you're not consistent, then you can't do anything for us. That's just being truthful, right? Right. So if we are making an impact, then you got to have it in your mindset that you're not just trying to give to that church. This is our church. This is our community. And if we want to be prominent and we want to make an impact, then we have to do exactly what we're capable of doing. All right? All right. So go ahead and get a seat in your hand and let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We love you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We thank you for these gifts that you are about to receive. I pray, Lord God, that the individual that may be struggling in their finances, Lord God, that they learn how to put you first, teach them how to give their best, and be an influence to those that are around them. Help them to learn budgetary measures, Heavenly Father, so they can prioritize properly. Help them, Father, as they begin to see the vision of this ministry, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the widows, the jailhouses, and the prisons, to be a church that is on the move and not a church as usual. We love you, Lord God. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Sow the best that you can. Give the best that you can. And one of our attendants will be around for you. There's three ways to give before we go on. The first way to give is that you could go to the kiosks in the back. Deacon Penn and the other individuals will help you along with that. If you're watching online, you could give through our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. Okay? And then obviously the last particular method is to give financially through the bucket that's going around. Now the bucket is actually what people give the lowest in. So don't do the 20. Do more than that. You get tithe more than that. Amen? And my last announcement is tax season is coming up. Our church, hold on everybody, our church does not need to be a church that gives the lowest during tax season. Hey, how are you doing? You doing all right, Lights? You doing okay? Don't be selfish. Don't forget us. Don't do that. All right? Don't blow it on 1,200 pairs of Jordans. Amen, somebody. Don't blow it on 15 Louis Vuitton purses. Those are temporary things. Even if it's your children, don't blow it on them. Make sure that you sow into what lasts. Only what you do for Christ will last. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. You can give now. That's right. Right now. Do the best that you can. It could be $100, it could be $250, it could be $500, whatever God leads you to do, just do it. Amen, 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 amen. I don't mind if you take your time. That means you add zeros to the kingdom. I'm keeping it all positive, even it all 100. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. On this blessed Sunday morning, I'm going to do a little bit of a shift in regards to the message this particular morning. But before we do that, let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, Heavenly Father. For there is none like you, nor will there ever be. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your favor and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. This morning's scripture, we're going to shift it a little bit, Jamar. It's going to come from out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. And as he's pulling up, y'all doing all right this morning? Amen, amen. It's a wonderful, blessed Sunday morning. How many of y'all are really glad that it's a little bit warmer outside? All right. Now, if you're not from Florida, you need to get accustomed to the schizophrenic, no disrespect, schizophrenic weather that we have, okay? That's sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level to the ground. Please silence your devices, please. Sometimes level to the ground. You got to be careful of the hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, because you can get really, really sick when it comes to that, all right? It's in the New King James Version. Jamar, are you ready? Okay, the New King James Version. So while he's getting that queued up, so you could get really sick. Last, a couple of weeks ago, I got a little bit of bronchitis. Some people, old folks call it walking pneumonia. All I know is that... I called myself getting into a jacuzzi when it was real cold outside, and then boom, it hit me because I thought I was okay, because I very rarely get sick, or sometimes I get under the weather maybe like once a year. Other times I'm just, God has blessed my body to be pretty durable in regards to that. But what ended up happening was I got out of the jacuzzi, got into the cold weather, was walking around, got into another jacuzzi. We were like at a little resort, kind of relaxing over the holidays, and then that cold hit me. And usually what happens when I catch something, I get a sneeze first, just out of the blue, and it's hot outside. Then I start coughing, and then the cough lasted for like about 3 weeks. It was terrible. I just got rid of it. So just be careful that when it says cold outside, you bundle up. When it's hot outside, you take off everything. If you do it in reverse, you're going to get sick every time. All right? Amen. Let's look at the scriptures for this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 8 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word, the good news." The title of this morning's message is Super Soul Sunday. Super Soul Sunday. Amen. Father, help me now. Help these, your people, to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you mute 9, 10, and 11, my brother? Thank you so much. Hallelujah. This evening, millions upon millions of people will be gathering together to watch two football teams battle each other for the coveted Lombardi Trophy. There will be food, plenty of folks, and depending on which team you are rooting for, Lord have mercy, y'all need to get saved out here, a lot of fun. In America, today marks the end of a season in regards to the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl marks the end of a season filled with wins, losses, a tie or two. That was crazy, a lot of ties this year, and plenty of injuries along the way. Nevertheless, in Bill Belichick's mind, I call him the evil emperor, as well as Jared Goff and all the other boys on the other side with the Rams, each team, from the players, coaches, and owners, all the way down to the stadium janitor, will experience the spectacle called the Super Bowl. Now, as far as I remember, in the modern era of the sport, it always happens to land on a Sunday, a day traditionally known as a day of rest from a week's worth of labor, stress, and strain. No wonder a day like today is so popular for so many people. I mean, even those of you who ignore the first two quarters, and you know who you are, of the game will be captivated during halftime just to see who will be performing or watch companies promote their brands through creative commercials. In other words, there is something for everyone. The benefits are far-reaching economically and socially. And so, let me share with you about a different event. One, over 2,000 some odd years ago. A day when the forces of darkness led by Satan went up against the forces of light led by Jesus Christ. You see what I'm doing there? This is what you call a parallel. On one side, you had the demons and the devils of hell, and on the other side, you had the angelic angels of heaven. Both of them battling for the souls of men who are largely unaware of their influence and affairs. The team led by Satan has had many victories since their first crowning achievement by defeating Adam and Eve. They defeated them in their first encounter, and since that time has taken down many souls to the point that for years defeat became normal, regular. People were always having issues and problems and circumstances. Even Noah's squad, even his goon squad, could not celebrate and rest for a moment. Even after the floods defeated the enemies of hell. For as soon as Noah passed out after a night of drinking and planting inside of his vineyard, one of his own sons looked at and tried to inappropriately have relations with their father. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, well, let's look at it for a moment. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 through 25. We thought that there was going to be a rest period after the flood, after God wiped the earth clean, but a little bit of something happened after that. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 through 25, in NASB version, you should see it on your screen, verse 20. Then Noah began farming and planting a vineyard. This is right after the flood. He drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 22, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Okay, dad is in there sleeping butt naked. Okay, it is what it is. And he's not alone. I ain't gonna give it. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away so that they could not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew that his youngest, what his youngest son had done to him.
Oh, freeze right there. So he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers. Now, see, the part right here is that we figured that when you look at this scripture, it just gives the appearance that the only thing that Ham did was just look at the father. But when you look at the Hebrew vernacular, when you study the text deeply, looking at a naked man is not just looking. It means doing something to them. The son had a perverted mindset and did a dastardly thing towards the father. Because why in the world would somebody just want to curse their son just for looking at them only? Amen. No, it was more than that. Many scholars from the ancient world testify to the fact that there was a violation of natural laws here between Ham, the father of Canaan, and Noah. This lets us know that despite the washing away of wicked sinners, there was still sin present. And from that day until Super Soul Sunday, mankind had to become unwilling participants in the battle of good versus evil with souls at stake. But then, I love this part, came one called Jesus, who was the number one draft pick of heaven, selected by God to make not only America but the entire world great again. His name is Jesus, Wonderful Counselor Jesus, Mighty God Jesus, Everlasting Father Jesus. Yes, when Noah or flood came, the earth rested. The doves went out of his hand. First it was the raven. Didn't come back. Waters did not recede. But then when the dove went out with the olive branch and returned with the olive branch and sin, that means there was peace. Sin had been purged from the world when it came up to its highest peak. But then, just that one simple act, violation of natural law between a father and a son happened during a time of drunkenness. We knew that sin was not wiped away from the planet. Only those that committed the sin. So what is it that keeps on popping up regardless of death's stranglehold? It's sin. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 through 21 says this, and it talks about Jesus, how he came in to actually help with this particular battle, to be a witness, to get selected, to lead the winning team. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused with Joseph, and it's in the King James Version, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, how in the world did you end up getting pregnant and I didn't do nothing with you? You got some splaining to do. But while he thought on these things, pondered in his mind, am I going to kick her out? Am I going to keep her with me? Am I going to forgive her? Am I going to condemn her? Is she going to get stoned because that's the custom of the individuals that are around me in ancient Hebrew culture? Am I going to put her away? Am I going to ban her? Am I going to get another wife? Somebody had to intervene. So behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, people of God, all of heaven rejoiced upon the entry of the Savior into the team. And upon his entry, the enemies of darkness were so afraid of him that they tried to knock him out of the game early through the likes of King Herod. You remember the story? King Herod was so perplexed that this new Savior, the grumblings of this Messiah was coming, the Messiah that Isaiah and the prophets of old were all talking about over and over and over again. And now, during his kingdom, they're hearing about one that is in the east that has a star as a symbol, and he sends wise men out to find out where the child is as a form of diplomacy cloaked as an assassination attempt. They're trying to find out where he was. But God had a different type of plan. They caught wind of it. And so him, Mary, and Joseph fled into Egypt for a time. But then Jesus returns. He's found in the temple at 12 years old. He's learning about the things of God. His parents find him inside of the temple. And they say, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "That must be about my father's business." And then for the next 18 years, silence, according to the scriptures. But that last verse before that is talks about how Jesus grew in favor with both God and man. He pops up 18 years later at the age of 30 years old with the favor of the Lord upon him. He begins to go throughout the city performing miracles, signs, and wonders after he gets baptized. And then he chooses disciples. Performs more miracles, signs, and wonders. Open up the eyes of the blind, unmutes those that cannot speak very well, those that are deaf, he opens up their ears. He does miracles one after another so that people may believe. The enemies, people of God, thought they trembled before, but now they're just terrified at the mere presence of Jesus. So much so that a team of devils bowed down to him as he was confronting them. We see this again in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. Verse 28 says, "When he came to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, two men were demon-possessed, met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. Two men filled with demons. And they cried out, saying, 'What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time or before the time?'" Oh, that sounds a little bit interesting. Before the time. Jesus was like, "Before the time? Oh, don't worry. Just wait until Super Soul Sunday. In the meantime, devils, you know, you two devils that are afflicting these two men, you're going to have to get out of my face. Get that corn out of my face." That's from Nacho Libre. Jesus was like, "You devils, get out of my face and go drown with the pigs. You have no authority to defeat me here." That's like another battle being won. It's like a game being won, the game of life. But it's not really a game in the humorous sense. It's actually something that has men's souls in the balance between heaven and resting with God for all eternity, or being tormented in hell, subsequently ending in the lake of fire. So Jesus said, "You have no authority to defeat me here. You have no authority in this place. Get out, go into those swine. Y'all could go down a hill," and then the swine went down the hill and drowned themselves. Luke chapter 4, verse 33 through 37 says, "In the synagogue," and here's another example, "there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, 'Let, watch this, us,'" indicated more than one, "alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Wow. So when Jesus is in the building, demons feel tormented. Demons feel like they're getting ready to be destroyed. Yes. So that means that the blood of Jesus has power to it. Yes. It has authority to it. It can change and transform the atmosphere. The building doesn't have to be downtrodden. No, it's not that. It's the spirit that is inside of people and what they're carrying when they're not saved. Saved Christians don't need to worry about being demon possessed. Because if Jesus is in there, who in the hand fat can get them out of there? Nobody. Nobody. So nobody can get Jesus out of you if Jesus is in you. Amen. Once he saves you and seals you until the day of redemption. But these two gentlemen in the Old Testament, they did not have the same type of barrier. They were possessed. That lets me know that when you do not know God, there's a chance that the enemy can come inside of you and take residence there. The strong man can take a hold of the strong man or the strong woman. So verse 34 repeating, let us alone. What business do we have with each other? Why are you messing with me? I got something going on here. I got this body that I could rape and pillage and kill with. I got a vessel and I could hop from body to body. I could do whatever I want with this person's life. I could destroy them and go on to the next one and then the next. Why are you trying to mess up what I got going on here? Why are you, preacher, trying to preach to my sin right now in the midst of the church? Why are you trying to talk about my issues? Why are you trying to set me free when I really love the hell that's on the inside of me? You know, that's the reason why it's kind of strange when you come to a church that's anointed and filled with power, because we don't want you just to come here and not change. We want you to come here and hear the word of God, hear the gospel, so that whatever's on the inside of you can come out of you. That does not mean that when you're saved that no demons won't attack you. They can attack you. They can hit you, but they don't have to take residence there. Yes. They can shoot at your house. They can throw eggs at your window, but that does not mean that they could come in the door. Yes. Unless you let them in. But Jesus rebuked him, corrected him, swole up at him, got in his face saying, be quiet and come out of him. Sounds simple, right? He wasn't running on the floor. He didn't have a toy gun in his hand talking about something. No. He didn't do any of that. He said, come out of him. A simple command. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, the individual's body that he was possessing, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another, saying, what is this message? Oh, it didn't even say, who is this person? They asked, what is this message? What is this message that is so powerful that can make demons leap out of a man and not hurt or harm him? What is this message that is so transformational that it makes people's minds just come at ease, brings peace into their household, brings peace to their souls, settles them, gives them life and renewal and redemption? What is this particular message? The verse goes on to say, with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. And the report about Jesus, about him, capital H-I-M, was spreading into every locality, every region in Castleberry, Altamont Springs, everywhere in the surrounding district. This lets me know that Jesus, wow, he was something else. He even had demons tremble at his name. He could cast them out of people, bring peace to their mindset, bring tranquility to the storms of life, bring calmness to a raging household, can bring financial blessing to those that are in lack. For those that can't even hear the good things of the Lord, he opens them up to a bright future. He came to save, deliver, and set people free from the chains of sin. Since Jesus came into the world, there was victory. Watch this. After victory, after victory, after victory. One soul saved over here. One soul saved over there. Another soul saved over here. A soul saved beside the road over there. Another soul saved at the church. Another soul saved inside of the club. Another soul saved in the middle of the bedroom. Another soul saved in any particular place. Where were you saved at? Where did you get the victory when Jesus came into your life? So it was victory after victory, busting the demons' heads over and over again. It lets me know that Jesus is actually undefeated. He has a better record than the Miami Dolphins of 1972. He has a better record than the awful Patriots. Lord have mercy. He has a better record than the Giants, the Jags for sure enough, especially this year. I don't even know what happened. He is undefeated, yes, in this world. And he's also, watch this, that's not the best thing. He's also given mankind a chance to be redeemed and restored. Yes. So you mean to tell me that when you come on my, come into my life and you say that I could be on your team, that the things that I used to do, that I won't do them anymore, and that places that I used to go, I don't have to go anymore, and that I was now blind, but now I can see, all because you're on the squad? Wow. Where they do that? So you mean to tell me that once you come into my life, I know how to handle trouble a little bit better? Yes. Once you come into my life, I'll be able to discern between a good mate and a not so good mate? When you come into my life, that there's a chance that there could be prosperity in my mind, and prosperity in my health, and prosperity even when troubled times come? Man, there's something great about you. So yes, mankind can be redeemed and restored, can be replenished, can be set right, can be put in right standing, can be made righteous, can be covered by the blood. Jesus had his own victory chant, y'all. Y'all remember the victory chants? Oops, upside your head. Oops, upside your head. Say, oops, upside your head. P. Give me your P. Give me your P. Give me your L. I don't even know how P and L can come together. Give me your L. Give me your, what that spell? Blah, I don't know. But whatever it is, when we used to play football, we used to have all our football pads on there, and we'd do. And then all the girls would be in there, oops, upside your head. Say, oops, upside your head. So put my hand up high, my feet down low. And this the way we jig a low. Jig a low, jig, jig a low, jig a low. And they would just do like this, hey. And they'd do all this other type of stuff. And everybody would just be ready, all because we were chanting and getting hype. We were getting hype. And it was as if we already won the victory. Jesus had his victory chant. He did so when he entered the city. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, those of you that have been with our ministry for any long length of time, remember this verse of scripture. It says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Wow, what a victory chant. Wow, what a statement. Wow, what a declaration. Wow, what a decree that this man has come into the world to change lives forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever. He has come to change lives forever. What type of man can do that except for Jesus? So this life-changing message, going back to the message again, this life-changing message was called the gospel, which contained a strategy to defeat the devils and his squad once and for all. We've been going back and forth a lot, but I got an answer for this. And then one day, there was a twist. Jesus had to come up against one particular battle that was unlike any other. The battle began to shift because one of his own, one of the ones that was the closest to him, came against him. He received a Judas kiss, a kiss of betrayal by one of his own team members. How are we going to be on the same team and you're going to try to talk to my wife? How are we going to be on the same team and you're going to sell me out like that? How are we going to be on the same team? And I taught you all the same stuff, fed you and clothed you, gave you signs and wonders and revelation, the deep parts of God, and you're going to do me like that? Why would you do such a thing, Judas? But whatever you do, do it quickly. I'd rather you leave fast then stay around and try to drain me slowly. That's a word for somebody. So Jesus was betrayed. He was also, as a result, taken by those that hated him for just 30 pieces of silver. And beat him up, scourged him, whipped him, tore his flesh apart with a cat of nine tails. Because he was the number one draft pick out of heaven. All because he was leading a team to victory. They whipped him until the very last inch of his life. And it was all due to the fact that he was soul winning. You talk about win, win, win. Put your hands up and let them stay there. They put his hands up, all right. They put one hand up on one side of the cross, another hand up on the other side of the cross, put a crown of thorns with needles as long as 9-inch nails inside of his skull, piercing through the cerebellum into his mind, pierced his feet, hung him up on a cross, that old rugged cross, and made a spectacle of him before everybody. They took and crucified our Savior. And upon his last breath, he gave up the ghost. The Roman soldiers pierced his side and mocked him, saying, if he was God, why didn't he get himself off of that cross? He had a thief next to him. If you are God, then why don't you get yourself down from this cross since you're so big and bad? But Jesus was still on the winning team, even though it looked like it was defeat. And even as he was getting beaten down, there was individuals that were around him that saw him for who he was. A Roman soldier said, this surely was the Son of God. The thief on the right-hand side said, surely this is the Son of God. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I will remember you when we enter into our paradise. Let us die together so that we can live forever. Let us die together so that we can live forever. Some say that on the day that Jesus died, it was so dark that it was like God turned his back on him. And he did, because he carried all of mankind's sins. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and Satan began his victory lap, just running around saying, you know, I got him. I got him. I got him. I had to hear about this Messiah ever since Adam and Eve were inside of the garden. Ever since the prophecy of you were going to bruise his head and someone's going to bruise their heel and there's going to be enmity between one another. Ever since that day, and I got him. I was scoping him out in the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. I was scoping him out then. I tempted him in every single part. But man, oh man, when I use that betrayal thing, woo! Of all the things that Jesus went through, the thing that propelled him to the cross is when one of his own gave him the kiss of death. Before the force of darkness could grab the prize on Super Soul Sunday, before they could take that trophy and lift it up saying that we are now rulers of this world and no one else can bring us down, Jesus, after 3 days, got up and took the crown of life and won the victory. Now you understand when the verses of Matthew chapter 28 come alive in verses 1-8, repeating, now after the Sabbath, the Sunday, the day of rest, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, how in the world can you get 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? That don't even sound right. That's not 3 days. But in ancient Jewish culture, you need to understand that the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning and the second day. So actually, Friday started on the Thursday evening. Thursday evening, Friday morning, 1 day. Friday evening, Saturday morning, 2 days. Saturday evening, Sunday morning, 3 days. Super Soul Sunday. And verse 2 says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Wow. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Wow. What blocked the Lord has now been removed out of the way. The stone of sin has been rolled away. What's blocking you from having a relationship with God has now been moved and rolled away. His countenance, his aura, his glow up was something serious. He upgraded. He was like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow, letting you and I know that he was pure and that he was all God and all man. The Greeks believed in the afterlife, but they didn't believe a dead body could come back to life. Oh, no. That was just something that was strange in their particular culture. But Jesus stood out from them all. And the guards shook a fear of him and became like dead men. They could die in front of the presence of God. That sounds kind of strange, because it reminds me of an Old Testament scripture that says, no man can see God and live. So when the Roman soldiers were there guarding the tomb, when they saw Jesus, they fell as dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he indeed is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the gospel, the word, the good news. Come on now. You see, this was better than any Hail Mary pass. Placing hope upon men or to just have a lucky day to win. See, with the Hail Mary, you just throw it and you just hope something good will happen. But most of the time, good things don't happen. Most of the time, you're at a position of defeat before you throw up that last shot. It's like throwing the basketball up at the other side of the court, hoping that it will go in when you're down by 3 points. And you're hoping for a four-point play. That's how crazy this particular situation was. That's how dire this situation was. But the truth is, people of God, Jesus defeated the enemy once and for all. Now you can listen to Jesus' victory speech. You heard the victory chant as he was going in. But now you need to hear the victory speech for those that are on his team, since he defeated the devil once and for all. For those of you that are saved, this should be a guiding light to your path. And it comes from out of Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Come on, stand to your feet. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Lord, have mercy. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That last statement is the mission statement for every Christian on this entire planet. To go out and make disciples, preach the gospel, tell people the good news, let them know about Jesus. We're not talking about just going after existing saved people, we're talking about those that are lost. I heard someone say in a teasing manner that I need more unsaved friends. I think we all do. Because Jesus was the friend of sinners and wine bibbers, drunks, prostitutes, whoremongers, tax collectors, publicans, Roman soldiers like Cornelius, men of war, men that didn't know him, but yet and still he befriended them, shared with them the good news of Super Soul Sunday. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. We thank you, Lord God, for rising again with all power and authority in your hand.
We thank you, Lord God, that you have picked us to be on the winning team and that you're looking for others to join that same team. We ask you, Lord God, to bless those that may be battling and struggling right now, whether it be the battlefield of their mind, their health, their finances. Give them the courage to keep on keeping on. Give them the courage to wait on you, Lord God, until the breakthrough comes. You are our deliverer. You are our Savior. You are our Master. You give us hope. You increase our faith. We rely on you even at this very hour with everything that's going on in our lives, Lord God. I pray that your people learn how to give it to you. We trust you, Heavenly Father. We bless your holy name. I pray that you touch every person in this building as well as those that are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Put your hands together for Super Sunday. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus didn't just get up and lay down again for another nap, like some of us may have felt like this morning. He didn't just want to sleep in. He got up for a purpose. He got up for a plan. He didn't just forget things. He didn't just stop. He got up for you and I. He got up for you when you didn't even want him, in hopes that you will want him one day. Always remember that you're on the winning team when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may feel like you're losing right now with a lot of stuff that's going on, but as the old preacher said, trouble don't last always. It'll pass. You just got to stick around until the good times come again. And you got to get out of your own way, so you don't slow down the blessings coming to you. You got to be obedient. All right? Be obedient. Have faith in him. Trust in him. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Y'all good? Y'all alive? Grab your neighbor's hand. Because y'all turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor's hand. Grab his neighbor's hand. Grab your neighbor's hand. And tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, it's Super Soul Sunday. All right. Be blessed, people of God.